Get Go Drive with Energy today. Available at a select grocer near you. For more information, log on to GoDriveWithEnergy.com. That's GoDriveWithEnergy.com.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Hey, it's Brendan Weesey, the newest member of the Big 550 KTRS Sports Department. Join Jim Huer and I weeknights at 6:30 on the Big Sports Show on KTRS.
The Big Sports Show. Big Sports Show on KTRS.
Advance Auto Parts presents Speed Perks Rewards Program. Spend 100 and get 20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards, no points, no nonsense.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Ian Geis, and Colin Jeffrey here now to do the showbiz segment of the show. It's brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States, the original $189 window company, online at windowworldstlouis.com. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
Doing fine. We have a couple of movies to get to. Before we get to that, I mentioned a while back that you had recommended to me a TV show called Justified,
yeah,
which ran for six seasons on FX and ended, what, two, 3 years ago?
2 years ago now, I think, yeah.
Okay. I finally got all the way through the final
episode.
It
took you like 2.5 months. It wasn't like...
Well, I wasn't binge-watching it like I did Breaking Bad or The Sopranos, because I had to hurry up and get through the first five seasons to watch the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like there was a rush. And I really enjoyed the show. But it actually was enjoyable watching it in pieces of two or three or four at a time, instead of trying to, well, it's Saturday, I'm getting up at 8 o'clock and I'm watching 16 episodes today.
Exactly, yeah.
But I finally made it all the way through, and I got to thank you for recommending the show to me. But also, while I liked the first couple of seasons, I got to say that was a classic example of one of those shows that stayed on the air too long.
Yeah. No, it did. They had a few sort of heavy villains that they cycled through, and seasons four and five probably could have been combined into one.
Or eliminated completely.
Yeah, but season six was oh so good.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with it, again, it's a Western set in... Kentucky. Yes. Why can't I remember?
Harlan County, Kentucky. It's modern day. It's not like an 1800s Western.
No. And so that's what makes it good, is you have, in the 1800s, sheriffs could just walk around and shoot people, and it was like, oh, I guess he was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case anymore, but you have someone who has sort of that mentality.
Yeah,
he's a gunslinger.
He's a U.S. Marshal,
yes.
Wears a cowboy hat, has the cowboy attitude,
uh-huh.
And has to deal with people who are... very set in their ways in the hills of Kentucky.
Yes.
And a great villain, this guy, mm-hmm. Walton Goggins, an actor, yes. I'd never heard of before. You told me about him, who played Boyd Crowder.
One of the greatest names for like a hick actor.
Walton Goggins. That's not the character. That's the actor's name.
Yes.
You know, starring Boyd Crowder as Walton Goggins. No, you got that backwards. Starring Walton Goggins as Boyd Crowder.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I know he's done is Hateful Eight.
Yes.
Came out last year, the Quentin Tarantino movie. And he's in some new stupid-looking show that's coming to, I think, NBC called Vice Principals. Just looks ridiculous.
Don't have high hopes for it, but you never know with NBC. They stumble upon some quirky comedies and then cancel them after a year or two,
mm-hmm.
because NBC has no guts.
And they also have no success when it comes to the comedies.
Yeah, they did, but no, not since then.
Not anymore. So if you have not seen Justified, I would recommend putting it in your Netflix or Amazon queue and checking it out. Mm-hmm. And so now what am I going to watch?
On TV?
Well, I need to have another show from several years ago where all the episodes have aired, and I can start binge-watching it on my own. Did you ever watch Orphan Black?
Yes.
somebody recommended that to me.
Holy smokes, yes.
Would that be a good one?
It's science fiction. Granted, it's still on the air, and season four is happening right now, and wow, oh, wow, is this a good show. Okay. This is one of my favorite shows on television.
Is it fantasy science fiction?
Oh, it's just science fiction. The premise of this is that a woman who's a sort of two-bit criminal discovers that she is, in fact, a clone, and it's uncovering how many clones are out there, are they good or bad, and why were they cloned?
Okay, it's not in a post-apocalyptic America.
No, it's current. It's right now. And Tatiana Maslany is the...
Oh, I've heard that name.
...is the actress
uh-huh.
who plays the clones.
So I should check it out?
You should. It's good. The first three seasons are available on Amazon Prime, and season four right now is on BBC America.
Okay. All right. That's probably what I'm going to do next. All right, let's get to the movies. We have a big one and a small one this week. I'll let you start because you saw the small one, which is called The Man Who Knew Infinity.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so The Man Who Knew Infinity is it's a movie about a mathematician. In this case, it's a mathematician you more than likely have never heard of. Srinivasa Ramanujan.
Presente.
Exactly.
I beat you, and I'm sorry.
You didn't know. Punch.
You didn't know it was coming.
No, I
knew it was coming.
He was born in 1887
mm-hmm.
in India,
mm-hmm.
and was a member of a high caste. Brahmin, I believe, was his religion, and he was poor, though, and actually, about the time he was 13 or 14, failed out of school because he was spending so much time with math, studying math,
mm-hmm.
and this movie picks up quite a bit later than that, when he's about 18, I think, 16 or 18, right in that range. Yeah, I guess it picks up right about then and sort of shows us that he is a prodigy at math. He spends his days in a temple writing just these long mathematic equations, things that you don't understand. And when he's in his 20s, he writes a letter to a mathematician in England,
mm-hmm.
G.H. Hardy. Mm-hmm. That's played by Jeremy Irons.
Mm-hmm.
Ramanujan is played by Dev Patel, who was in The Newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And
Slumdog Millionaire.
Second most exotic Marigold Hotel.
And the first most exotic.
And the first most exotic, yes.
Yeah.
But I just like saying second most exotic. And this is where this movie really kicks into high gear. He writes this letter to a renowned mathematician saying, look at what I've created. Look at what I've done. These pages and pages of formulas. Jeremy Irons gets them. Hardy gets them. And is like, this has to be a crank. Someone's got to be messing with me. This is too ridiculous. And then he sort of discovers, no, this isn't. So he writes back, and this is where the movie sort of deviates from history a bit, but we'll just talk about the movie. He brings him over to Cambridge to study with him
mm-hmm.
because he sees this amazing ability to recognize patterns and create formulas that weren't there, but he can tell he does not have like the structure, the mathematics language to explain how he can get there.
Okay, let me guess. At that point, once he gets to England, because it's the late 1800s or early 1900s, he's a brown man in a white world, and they are not accepting of him. What are you doing here? You're a foreigner. You shouldn't be here. There's racial discrimination against him. He takes it. He takes the brunt of it for years and years and years, but his brilliance, his brain power alone gets him through it. And along the way, he meets a woman, and she helps steer him in the right path, and they have a love, and he has a career, and he does some groundbreaking work.
So you're about 40% right there.
Oh, that's
let's
all?
Say. He's married before he comes over. It's an arranged marriage. In the movie, they make it a much more palatable age, someone that looks about his age, late teens, early 20s. In reality, he was married as a teen to a 10-year-old girl, and they started living together at 12. But that's not really what this is about. But she stays behind. She can't travel with him
okay.
to England. So he goes to England in 1914. And there's something really big about to happen in Europe in the mid-19-teens, and that's World War I.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's some discrimination, and people make fun of him because he's at this austere university, and he's an Indian.
Yeah.
And this is while India is still living under
British
rule, yeah. So there's that whole dynamic.
Okay.
But he works with Hardy to sort of develop these great ideas that he has, and also to learn mathematics because he's only taught himself with these horribly out-of-date books prior to this. You know, he's doing math in the early 1900s. He's using books in the 1850s. Mm-hmm. This movie is not about the plot. That's not really what this is about. And that's kind of disappointing because I think there's probably a good story to tell in there about his life and what it is. It's also not about explaining the mathematics to us. If you watch this, they're going to use lots of phrases that you're just like, I have no clue what a partition is. And they're going to try and explain it to you, and mm-hmm. you might get it, but it's not really about. And then they're like, oh, and he's talking about infinite sets. Those words don't even make sense to me now.
Yeah.
And unlike other movies that we'll talk about in a minute that have dealt with math, this doesn't even try to really explain what's going on. Instead, it's supposed to be a character study. The problem is you've got Jeremy Irons and Dev Patel. Are both very good actors in this. They do a very good job with really nothing behind it. It's just kind of a bleh movie.
Sounds boring.
It kind of is. You want there to be more.
A couple of years ago, there was this great movie called The Imitation Game.
Yes.
About the brilliant mathematician Alan Turing, who saved millions of lives during World War II.
And that had tension in it because they have to do it, and there's this pressure. And
Benedict Cumberbatch was great in the lead. Very good. Before that, years ago, you had
A Beautiful Mind.
A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
Playing John Nash, who was the game theorist. And it did such a good job. That movie explained what he was thinking in really interesting ways. If you remember, there was a scene where he's with his friends, his classmates in a bar, and they're like, who's going to go after these attractive women? And it's sort of in his mind, he's seeing like, it's like, oh, if this guy walks over here and talks to all of them and none of them are interested, they will not want to talk to any of us. But if each of us arrive and go after the one we're most interested in, it works out best for each of us.
And
it explains it in ways that are kind of fun, kind of how last year The Big Short explained some of this stuff that was fun with Anthony Bourdain or Margot Robbie in a bubble bath.
Right. Let's just pause and think about that for a second.
Mm.
I'm sorry, what were you talking about?
Good Will Hunting is another thing where math is a major component of it, but they don't make it central to the story. We just know he's good, but they don't try and bog us down. If this movie had done that, it would have been better, but math was central because his wife, math is really who he's married to.
Okay, so what do you give this thing on a scale of 10?
Oh, it's rough to give it anything less than a 5 because they're so good, so I have to, but it's difficult to give it more.
5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
The Man Who Knew Infinity.
Yeah, it's just really, this is just, wait for it on DVD.
5 3/10. Since it's a math movie.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, thanks.
The other movie that's opening this weekend is called Money Monster, which stars George Clooney and Julia Roberts and is directed by Jodie Foster. I saw some other reviews and heard some other reviews earlier today from people who hated this movie. I don't understand why. I think they went in expecting The Big Short, which is not what this movie is. This movie is summertime entertainment. I know it's only the springtime, but it is really good, clever summertime entertainment. George Clooney plays a guy by the name of Lee Gates, who is a financial TV show host, kind of like Jim Cramer. He's loud. He's obnoxious. He tells you about the big stocks that you should invest in. Here's my stock pick of the millennium for today. Tomorrow he has another stock pick of the millennium every day. He's got sound effects. He's got graphics. He's got all of that. And Julia Roberts is his producer slash director who talks in his ear all the time and helps him get through the show and all that stuff. And you see the silliness of that kind of an operation that is interrupted by a character by the name of Kyle, who is played by Jack O'Connell, who played Louis Zamperini in the movie Unbroken that Angelina Jolie directed last year. I call it the James Franco character, because this guy looks like James Franco when he acts like James Franco does in serious movies. Kyle, this character, lost his nest egg by putting all of his money into Ibis Financial, which Lee had told his audience, the George Clooney character, had told his audience was better than putting your money in a bank. This is the best bet you can make this year. And when something horrible goes wrong at Ibis Financial and the company loses $800 million like that, this guy comes to the TV studio while George Clooney's on the air live, and he comes in with a gun and a bomb vest, which he puts on Clooney, and he's holding the trigger the way Dennis Hopper did in Speed when it was attached to
Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
Yeah, when it was attached to Sandra Bullock, in the last scenes in the train. So that's where you're suspect. No, it's the part in the train where she's wearing the vest. So that's where your suspense comes from. And I think Jodie Foster does a good job. Her stars are, well, you have George Clooney and Julia Roberts. They're exactly what you want them to be in this movie. You also have a good supporting cast, Giancarlo Esposito, Dennis Poutsakaris, other people who you might recognize. There's tension, there's humor. At times it tries to say something profound about Wall Street, but it's not The Big Short, so it's not really a statement about the stock market being rigged against the little guy. There's a little bit of that. It's more an indictment of the Jim Cramer-like pundits who go on TV, tell you to put your money into this stock or that fund, and then there's no accountability for them later when something goes upside down on them. I remember after the crash, the recession of 08, Jon Stewart did a thing on his show on The Daily Show. He eviscerated Jim Cramer on his show.
Yeah.
Cramer was there saying, oh, I never told people to do that. And Jon Stewart said, roll 212. And they had video of Jim Cramer saying exactly that. And you see that happen in this movie as well. George Clooney's character says, I never told you that it was safer than putting money in the bank. Go to the videotape. Let's roll the videotape.
Yeah.
There's that sort of stuff. It wants to be Dog Day Afternoon. It's not quite that. It wants to be broadcast news. It's not quite that. And the interesting thing is Julia Roberts and George Clooney are almost never on screen together. But she's in his ear, kind of like Holly Hunter was with William Hurt in broadcast news. Mm-hmm. And their chemistry is so good that even though they're not on screen together, it works. I liked it. My wife, who used to work in TV, said they got the control room parts of the story right. The audience that I saw this with, they laughed in the right places. They applauded at the end of the movie. Do not listen to the other critics. This is a feel-good movie that does have some tension and a little bit of a message, but don't worry about that. It's just a fun movie to go see. Jodie Foster, I think, did a very good job. I'm giving Money Monster an 8.5 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is it a comedy or kind of a dramedy or
it's a thriller. It's a drama with some light moments in it.
Okay.
I mean, George Clooney's character is introduced on the show when he comes out and he's he's got boxing gloves on and he's got two attractive dancers next to him and they're in boxing gear and they're pretending to box and Clooney is, you know, goofy while he's dancing and that sort of stuff. So there's silliness like that and there are moments of humor that kind of cut the tension at the right times. And I really think some of the critics who went to see this thought they were going to see the new version of The Big Short. And that's not what this is at all. It's not Wall Street or anything like that. It's a fun movie. And I recommend it. One of my favorites so far in the course of this year. Now, we got to cut the showbiz stuff short because last hour we were supposed to have Clint Hill, the Secret Service agent, on. And for whatever reason, we had a... You know, we have mixed signals, and we couldn't get him on. He's agreed to come on in about 10 minutes. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm hearing that in my earpiece from Julia Roberts.
Yes.
Oh.
No, from the man in the box.
Clint Hill's going to be coming on at about 4:40.
I hear Clint Hill's going to be coming on at about 4:40. Thank you, Julia. Wouldn't that be fantastic if I could have some sort of filter here that he does that voice and I hear Julia Roberts' voice saying those things?
That'd be awesome.
They have those filters right down the hall.
I just wanted to mention something quickly. Yes. Batman vs. Superman worldwide is at $868 million so far.
Mm-hmm.
After just over a week, Captain America is at $788 million.
Wow.
So that shows you what a real flop, sort of, if you can say that, with almost $900 million, Batman vs. Superman was.
Holy cow.
Yes.
So are those two movies coming out that you guys just talked about, well, mainly the one that you just talked about, Paul?
Money Monster?
Money Monster.
That's on thousands of screens across the country.
That's coming out this weekend.
Yeah, it opened today.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
Yeah, I recommend it. I think it'll do okay this weekend, but it's not going to knock off Captain America or Jungle Book, right?
No.
It won't come close to that.
No.
But don't listen to the other reviewers. Go see it. I think you'll enjoy it. All right, that's the showbiz segment for this week here on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm going to talk to Kim about that thing now.
Hmm.
Meep, meep. Now, Tim Weiland is our traffic guy who got a chance to do something to promote the air show that's going on this weekend. What was that, Tim?
I went up this morning in a B-17 bomber.
Wow.
From World War II. And Frank Ladd set it up for me. And, you know, it's funny. I had a chance to either go up in the Blue Angels Fat Albert, which is a C-130, or the World War II plane. And, you know, my dad was in the Army Air Corps. in World War II, and he was stationed in Africa, and he actually worked on the B-17. So I thought, you know what, it'd be kind of cool to go in the plane that, that he was in. And it was a pretty awesome experience. This whole air show thing, I don't know if you, any of you guys are going to, but man, this thing, it's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. But what they wanted me to let everybody know is that it is sold out for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the old air and fair, or the fair and air show.
Yeah.
You know, it's by tickets only, and it is sold out for tomorrow, but they have plenty of room for Sunday. And you can buy tickets when you go out there, but they're preferring you try to go online, and I don't have that information here with me right
it's
now.
It's like...
you go to spirit-airshow.com.
Yeah, there. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, and it's like
that.
$20 online, $25 at the gate.
And if you know, everybody's interested in the air shows, they've got the Blue Angels, they've got the Canadian snow jets up there, they've got all sorts of the military planes. They're giving rides in Huey helicopters.
Wow.
They have the B-17, they're also giving rides in that.
Wow.
It's pretty fantastic. If you'd like to go see, you've been to an air show and be up close to check these things out. And that was quite an experience today. And I'll tell you what, once we got up, we got a chance to roam around like they did. The only place we couldn't go is into the tail part of it, where the tail gunner is now. But you really, if you're anything into World War II, you get a sense of, wow, what these guys went through. You know, they're 25, 30,000 feet up. It's cold. Windows are open. Gun turrets here and there.
Wow.
And you can imagine what it's like when you've got Messerschmitts coming at you, attacking and stuff. And I'm the greatest generation, I'm telling you.
Did they have to tell you, get away from the bomb bay doors?
Yeah.
Don't go Slim Pickens on us, Tim.
No, actually, the bomb bay doors were there, but they have this little walk area they put over it, and they do. They point down to you, and you can bend down and look outside, and then they had the windows wide open on the side where the gun turrets were, and it's really an experience. And it like I said, if you really understand what the greatest generation was all about, man, with these are just flying tanks. They're so big.
Wow.
So I appreciate Frank Ladd and the station giving me the chance to do that, and anybody that's out there that's into the air shows and stuff, what a remarkable thing you're going to see. We saw a jet, an Air Force jet. Actually, I've never seen this before, but they reversed the jets and they backed up the whole way into the parking spot they had to go to.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that?
No, I never have.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know a jet engine could do that. And it wasn't the reverse thrusters. I couldn't see. It was just I guess they reversed it. And they had a guy in the back with the bay door open, and he's letting them know, keep going. And they back it right up to the spot. That's where they're going to be throughout the weekend.
Very cool. Yeah, I guess to be that kind of a pilot, you probably had to pass parallel parking when you were a teenager.
That's
a prerequisite for that job.
Yeah.
All right, so that's out at Spirit of St. Louis Airport this weekend. And meanwhile, what are the roads like?
Well, the roads are kind of jammed up here on eastbound 44. Now, it's the normal backup, but you had that earlier accident that's really causing it to not get rolling at all. It was on eastbound 44 at Grand. That's been cleared. Now you're jammed up from Kings Highway through Highway 55. Eastbound 40, that's a jam up that goes from Vandeventer to the Poplar Street Bridge. You have, let's see here, you have westbound 40 that's slowing now from Grand, and that goes all the way out through McCausland. They're working with an accident on Highway 143 at Route 4. Driver was unresponsive, so they've got some blockage and some delays out in that area. And southbound 55, looking at that now, it's slowing River to Pear through Rivas Barracks. This report brought to you by GoDaddy. Sales drives your business. Customers drive sales. GoDaddy helps you with memorable domains, online marketing tools, and 24/7 help. Go you, GoDaddy. With your Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 2250-95. Here's a question only you can answer. What do you think about us? Let us know, and you could win St. Louis FC soccer, Mizzou football, or Six Flags tickets. Just go to KTRS.com and click on Enter to Win and take our listener survey. You'll be able to tell us honestly how we're doing, good or bad, and possibly win St. Louis soccer, Mizzou football, or Six Flags tickets just for doing so. You listen to us, and we listen to you. The Big 550 KTRS. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Later this month, the Cardinals take on the Arizona Diamondbacks the weekend of May 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and it's loaded with great promotions. Friday, May 20th, it's the Yadier Molina Garden Gnome. Saturday, May 21st, the Adult Cardinals Pullover. Sunday, May 22nd, is Six Flags Day, Family Attractions Card Giveaway, and the Kids Performance T-shirt presented by the Pasta House. May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Tickets available at cardinals.com/promotions.
It's that time of year again when we're all back outside doing yard work and in our gardens. The Cardinals are here to help. Friday, May 20th, the Cardinals face the Diamondbacks, and it's the Yadier Molina Garden Gnome Giveaway. 30,000 fans ages 16 and older will leave with an exclusive Yadier Molina Garden Gnome, and a limited number of these gnomes feature gold or platinum gloves. That's Friday, May 20th, and tickets are available at cardinals.com/promotions.
Folks are loving it. They are loving it. Listen to them.
Wherever you live, from Berkeley to Belleville to Richmond Heights to Melville, Glendale to Shrewsbury, the Central West End, Sunset Hills to Soulard, the one you know, Frederick Roofing, wherever you go. For a hole in your roof, for a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing.
314-645-2000. Aren't you tired of hearing ads that say they're the best, they're the experts, blah, 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 just one unsubstantiated claim after another? Well, here are two substantiated claims that actually mean something if you need roof repair or a new roof. With a family-owned business tradition of over 80 years and 80,000 satisfied customers, you can depend on Frederick Roofing, residential or commercial.
For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing.
Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
Never paint again. Seriously, who wants to paint anyways? Rhino Shield would love to paint your home, business, or church for the last time. You know, when it's not raining. Water and sun are the two most damaging villains against your home's defense for chipping, cracking, peeling, and rot. Our permanent ceramic coating locks out 100% of the moisture, 90% of the sun's UV rays, and we back it up with a 25-year transferable warranty. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. See why we are rapidly becoming your neighbor's go-to solution for cracks, splits, nail pops, and just bad color schemes. Now's the time to be smart to save time and money. Call 877-25-RHINO. 877-25-RHINO. Or 877-25-RHINO.com. See what we did there? Genius.
Rhino, go Rhino Shield. Never paint your house again. Rhino Shield.
If you could quickly and painlessly clear your psoriasis or vitiligo, would you?
No matter how big the psoriasis is, no matter how small the psoriasis, we can help you.
Ashley is a clinical specialist for Extract, the amazing in-office treatment for psoriasis and vitiligo that's clinically proven to show immediate results with up to 95% clearance.
What my patients love most about the Extract treatments is it's safe, it's FDA cleared, and they're seeing results very quickly.
End the embarrassing, painful patches and discoloration with Extract. There's no medications, no topical ointments, and virtually no side effects. Extract uses light to transform your skin and change your life. It's covered by all major insurances and Medicare, and will help you find a doctor close by.
I love what I do. I love coming in every day and making a difference in patients' lives. It's amazing.
Call now to live Extract clear. Call 800-761-6141. That's 800-761-6141. 800-761-6141. Or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply. Results may vary.
This is Whitey Herzog, and I'm here with my friend, Jeff Hopper, from Hopper's Pests and Animal Solutions.
Thanks, Whitey. If you have mosquitoes in your yard, and you're afraid of the Zika virus or anything like that, you call Hopper's. We have a monthly service that we provide that protects you and your home. This program will help give you your yard back. What's that number, Whitey?
That's Hopper's Pests and Animal Solutions, 314-544-PEST.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Hartcastle, asking you to listen to my Money Talk radio program every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on KTRS, the Big 550, where we discuss your money in an easy-to-understand manner. We'll have interesting guests chat about money, the current marketplace, and the wonderful world of investing. Also, listen for my Money Market Wrap-Ups Monday through Friday on the Big 550 a.m. at 4 p.m. That's the Big 550 KTRS at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is Dr. Dan Gagliotti. I host the Superior Healthcare Show every Saturday at 3 o'clock. But you can also call me right now. Are you or your family suffering with chronic pain, joint pain, or migraines? Did you know that all of these can be traced back to your nerve system? Stop putting Band-Aids over the issue. Stop covering up your symptom. Address the cause. Solve the problem. Call us at Superior Healthcare, 314-394-1923. Listen to Superior Healthcare every Saturday and call us now at 314-394-1923.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian Geis and Dan Strauss are here in the studio with me. And on the phone now is Clint Hill. Clint Hill spent 17 years from 1958 to 1975 protecting presidents of this United States and writes about the experience in a new book called Five Presidents. It's about his years with Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, and Ford. He was at the White House through the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis and the assassinations and the Vietnam War and the Vietnam War protests and Watergate and other world-changing events. He retired in 1975 as assistant director responsible for all protective forces, but is still involved with the people of the Secret Service. And it's an honor to have him on the show here to talk about the book and to promote an appearance he's going to be doing here in St. Louis next Thursday, May 19th, at the Missouri History Museum. Clint Hill, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Before we get into other things, I've got to ask you about a silly thing first. A few weeks ago, I saw this movie, Elvis and Nixon, which is about the true life story of when Elvis Presley went to the White House in 1970, showed up unannounced at the northwest gate of the White House when President Nixon was in the building and said, I want to meet the president, and he brought a letter with him. And were you there during that time?
I was in my office a block and a half from the White House. My responsibility was then, I was a deputy assistant director of protective forces, and the White House detail and the uniform division came under our office. And yes, I was fully aware of what was going on. My secretary came running in to my office and said, you're not going to believe this, but Elvis Presley just showed up at the Northwest Gate. And I said, was it really him? And she said, yep, he wants to see the president. Well, what happened was he came there unannounced, not invited. He had a letter that he had written while he was flying into Washington, and he wanted to see the president because he wanted the president to make him a federal agent involved in drug enforcement, because he thought that since he had such a wonderful relationship with young America, he could make a difference in the drug war.
And he wanted to do it undercover because he was an expert in disguise, having made movies.
That's why he wore that velvet suit, I guess.
And a giant gold belt buckle the size of Rhode Island.
That's right, yeah. And then he brought a gun as a present for the president. And fortunately, it was in a picture frame, but we had to examine it anyway.
So I'm curious, what happened? You get your secretary tells you about that, so you've gotten that phone call, and your office knows about it, and he's at the Northwest Gate. What's the process from there? What do you do?
What happened was he gave the letter to the uniformed officer, and he was turned away because he didn't have an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back to his hotel. The letter then was taken in and given to one of Nixon's staff. I think it was a man named Bud Krogh.
Mm-hmm.
And Bud looked at the letter and realized what a great publicity event this was. And so he got the hold of his boss, Bob Haldeman, and they went in and explained it to the president, and he said, bring him in. So they contacted him. He came back to the White House. He had a meeting with the president. There were photos taken of him in the office with the president. And they did arrange to get him an honorary federal drug enforcement badge, which had no legitimate authority whatsoever.
Yeah.
But at least it made him happy, and he went away a happy man.
Wow. Have you seen the movie?
No, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
You lived it, so I'm sure you'll sit there and laugh and remember all these bizarre things that happened. And by the way, I thought that was the oddest story I'd ever heard about the Nixon White House, and I'd heard it for decades. And then I read in your book, there was one that made me raise my eyebrows even more, Clint, and that was the story about Richard Nixon deciding about 4 o'clock in the morning, when there were going to be hundreds of thousands of people protesting the war on the Mall in Washington, he decided to go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning, right?
Yes, he did. And it was really, it really angered me because we had gone to the trouble of working with the military and the district police and the park police, acquiring hundreds of buses, lining them up bumper to bumper around the entire perimeter of the White House complex to prevent anybody from even thinking about getting in. And then he, at 4:30 in the morning, decides he wants to go out of that secure complex.
Mm.
And so the agents that were working the midnight shift took him down to the Lincoln Memorial. And he walked around. He had his valet with him, Manolo, and a doctor, Dr. Walter Dakash. And he went down there, and he was explaining to Manolo what the memorial represented. And then he sat down on the steps amongst the students that were there. They were demonstrating. He found out that a big number were there from Syracuse University. So he decided to try and talk to them about their football team.
Now, well, I just got to stop you for a second, because this is while Richard Nixon was the sitting president of the United States, and there are 100,000 students getting ready for a gigantic rally against his policies in Vietnam.
That's correct. More than 100,000.
Yeah.
The city was just filled with young people willing to do anything to get their point across.
Yep.
And so do you think those Syracuse University kids really thought they wanted to talk about the football team? I don't think so.
No.
The agents that were with him said he just didn't make any sense at all.
Now, you must have been freaking out when you heard, again, just like the Elvis thing, you got to go, what?
Well, he didn't even stop there. They finally got him in the car. They thought they were going back to the White House, but then he insisted on going up to the U.S. Capitol. He wanted to show his valet his Senate seat. So they get to the Senate side, and it's locked. They can't get in. So they go over to the House side, because he was also a congressman at one time. And there was a janitor or somebody there, had a key, let him in. He goes into the House chamber, finds a seat. Then he directs his valet to go up and sit in the speaker's chair and address the empty legislative body.
What in the world? Was he on some drugs or something?
Wow.
Well, I won't comment about that part.
Oh.
But,
he was smoking.
It was rather unusual.
Yeah. You know, I could ask you, we could talk about Nixon all day long, but I want to touch on a couple of the other people you talk about. After all, it was 5 presidents. So let's talk about LBJ for just a second. There's been a lot of renewed attention on Lyndon Johnson, and particularly civil rights, in the last couple of years. We had the movie Selma a couple of years ago. Bryan Cranston won a Tony for playing Johnson on Broadway in a play called All the Way, which is going to be turned into an HBO presentation next week. You write in the book about a group of students who during that time went to the White House, I think it was in 1964, where they were on a regular tour and just sat down and staged a sit-in in the White House lobby. Do I have my timing right on this?
Yeah, that's correct. They actually sat in a passageway where normally tourists come through on the lower level in the kind of a, it's near the theater, and they just sat down and they wouldn't move. And they had to reroute the tourists that were behind them. And so Rufus Youngblood, who was one of our agents, he was the agent in charge of Johnson at that time, and he went up and told LBJ what was going on. And they decided just to leave him, let him sit there. They didn't want to cause a major problem. But they stayed and stayed. They wouldn't go. They stayed through lunch. They stayed. And then there was going to be a function in the White House that night. It was going to be a reception. So they had to, we had to get him out of there. So finally, he said, okay, make it as quiet as possible. Do it as with as no publicity as possible. Get him out. So we did. We put car. They brought in cars on that end of the White House, and we brought him out, and they took him down to be arraigned and talked to a judge. Mm-hmm. So we did satisfactorily get a conclusion that met everybody's desires, but that was typical.
But that must have changed. That must have changed White House security and the way tours were treated going forward.
Well, sure. Gave us a new look at things. We didn't think that people would be willing to do that, but they are, or they were, and so we had to make some adjustments.
Okay, now speaking of things that must have changed policy, 1968 was one of the most torturous times in American history in that era. It was the year that we had both Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy assassinated a couple of months apart in April and June of 1968. And that summer we had the Democratic Convention in Chicago that ended in riots. And I'm curious about what the Secret Service must have had to ramp up that year. And, of course, you famously were there when President John Kennedy was assassinated, which you wrote about in your book 5 Days in November, and also Mrs. Kennedy and Me, two great books, by the way. I'm curious about what you took from that experience into 1968 when we had those two other huge political assassinations in terms of protecting the then-sitting president, LBJ.
Well, after the assassination, we, the agents, we all vowed this was never going to happen again in our watch. And so we were much more focused from that point on than we had been before, even though we were very focused before. But we wanted to make sure there was nothing that left undone to make sure we had adequate protection at all times. And it was difficult. The night that Martin Luther King was assassinated, it was that was only 5 days after Johnson had announced he wasn't going to run for president again.
Mm-hmm.
Which happened March 31st, and King was killed on April 4th. And he went to a service for him the next day. And in the middle of the night before the service, he called me at my home. I had a White House phone direct line right beside my bed. And he called me about 2:30 in the morning, and he told me that wanted to make sure I was fully aware that he was going there that morning to that service. And then he wanted to make sure that we kept the car that he was in up as close to the door as we could get it. And then he said, Clint, he said, I want you as close to me as white on rice when we go into that service and during the service and come out. And then I was inches away at all time. And he was concerned about his own safety at that point. And it was, normal, I thought, that he should be concerned, because we had no idea, really, if this, what happened to King, would be something that they would try against Johnson or not. We always had to be on our top game, because we never were fully aware of what was going to happen next.
Absolutely. Well, Clint, I got to tell you, the last part of the book is about the night in 1975 after you had retired, where you sat down with Mike Wallace for 60 minutes, and you opened up about being there when JFK was assassinated, and you blamed yourself. And I remember watching that night and seeing how you were so obviously torn apart by grief and guilt, and I know it led to a spiral into depression and all sorts of other problems. How are you now on that subject?
Well, thankfully, after I met this lady, Lisa McCubbin, who was a writer, she was working on a book with a friend of mine, and they asked me to help them because I was in Dallas and the other agent was not. And after that, I had confidence and trust in Lisa, and I began to talk to her more and more, long distance by telephone, but it was beneficial. And the more I talked, the better I felt. And then I was convinced that maybe I should write a book. And that's how Mrs. Kennedy and Me was created.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very cathartic for me. That's the best thing I did for myself, was agree to talk to Lisa and get all that emotional baggage out, because I was really suffering from what now is called PTSD, It wasn't anything, any name like that at that time, but that's what it was. And unless you get that emotional baggage out by talking to someone about it, really expressing yourself, then you're really going to have a problem for a long time.
Well, you've retained your relationship with Lisa McCubbin. She's your co-author on this book, which is called Five Presidents, about your extraordinary career with Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, and Ford. And I could talk to you about this all day long, but I'm going to tell people to go see you instead next Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Missouri History Museum. You can go to meetmestlouis.org to find out more information. You can get a copy of the book there and have Clint sign it for you, and he'll do a Q&A and all the rest. It's really an honor to talk to you, and I appreciate your time today.
And I think I just say one thing. I know we're getting short on time here. Clint was before November, before the assassination. You guys were in Florida. Was that the day before or 2 days before Dallas?
It was on Monday, the 18th of November, which is we went to Texas on Thursday.
Okay, Monday. So I was in Florida at that time, so I got to see you and the president go by in a motorcade when I was a kid.
As a little five-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember that.
Well, I wasn't in Florida. Just
oh, you weren't?
So.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get to see you then.
I was back in Washington.
Well, that's why you don't remember Dan.
Yeah, you don't remember me. You would have remembered me because I was really
cute. I thought I knew you, but I guess not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Clint, thank you so much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
The book is Five Presidents. More information about his appearance at meetmestlouis.org.
All right, let's check traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
You're traveling on southbound 141 just before Hawkins Road. An accident has only the left lane open. You were backed up north of Bowles. Now, what they're doing on St. Charles County on westbound 364 Highway K is, I guess they had a bad part of the road and they put new concrete in. And only, it looks like they've got one or two lanes blocked there. Traffic is backed up to Mid River Mall Drive. It's actually slow from Youngerman, but it's stop and go from Mid River Mall Drive. Now, southbound 270, that was slowing from a little bit south of Dorset down through Doherty Ferry. Westbound 44, that was running heavy. And it looked like it was right around approaching Mirage, goes out past Bowles, and eastbound 270 slowing east of McDonald through New Florissant. This report brought to you by Missouri Lottery. Grab your lucky pennies and play the Missouri Lottery's new Lucky for Life draw game. With drawings every Monday and Thursday, you could win $1,000 a day for life. With your Vincent Mortgage Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.